feels almost unreal that we are actually sitting down inside Kern's Food Hall right now, not on an assignment, not getting a private behind the scenes tour, sitting here with other people who are, you know, it seems from what I've seen today, and we're here on a Thursday, are excited to be here and are exploring what's a huge property compared to maybe the food hall that you're used to in downtown Knoxville, Marble City Market. Now that there's a second one in our downtown scene, downtown adjacent, I mean, it's right over the Henley Street Bridge. We want to talk a little bit here on the podcast about what our experience has been like today, what you can expect in the future, what's available now and what's coming. Really everything you need to know about the food hall, about Kern's Food Hall from the customer perspective. And so customer number one is me. I'm Ryan Willis, downtown growth and development reporter at Knox News, and joined today by
Brianna Pachorka, photojournalist for Knox News and producer of The Scruffy Stuff.
And I think the first thing I want to say is they're calling this you can call this a construction site and say that it's not totally ready and it's not open. That's true, but it doesn't really look like that in here. And I was pleasantly surprised to see when I walked in, it felt like a food hall. It felt complete. You know, I'd been in here recently getting that behind the scenes tour. I think the last time you and I, Brianna, were in here together, we were getting a virtual reality tour. The first time I ever saw the food hall or the Kern's Bakery building was when I moved here in 2018. And Tyler Whetstone, fellow reporter, told me, oh, that's going to be something here soon. And now here we are 6 years later, and we're just now opening. But you hadn't seen it as it is in its current state until just now, Brianna. What was your initial reaction?
Yeah, so to preface this, like, I was with Tyler Whetstone to see this property in 2017 when it was literally just a shell of the bakery. And then I was here with you a couple years ago for kind of a sort of preview where it was still just kind of a construction mess. But walking in, it was just like, well, one, it looks completely different on the outside, like completely different, very nice, very clean and modern looking. And you walk in and like the music is playing, there's lights, you have skylights, you have businesses that are open like as soon as you walk in, so you're not like immediately hit by the construction. I don't know, it's a lot cooler than I was expecting it to be.
And that's good, because I think people were expecting a lot out of this, especially given the fact that it had been so long since the project was first announced and there were delays for opening it. And they could have delayed it again. And I have to say that I think this was the right move to go ahead and open with what's ready to open and let people see the progress that's being made, because I think a lot of people lost faith in this project for a bit. You saw it. You drove past it. Nothing really looked like it changed from the outside. It still looked like Kern's Bakery. You saw construction trailers and stuff, but couldn't really tell what they were working on. To be able to walk in here and be able to say, oh, wow, they actually have done this work, and oh wow, the work is continuing and this is just the start of it, I think it does a lot. Because from the outside perspective, I mean, I was skeptical, I'll admit. I did not know if it was going to even happen this year, and here we are. The weather's warming up, the perfect time for it to open. And that's one thing maybe we could talk about a little bit, is just sort of all the nooks and crannies, because I think that's one of the most impressive things about this place, including the outdoor area. Like I said, with it getting warmer, that's going to be a big hit, I think.
Yeah, you and I, we basically took a walk-in tour before we grabbed food, and we were walking for quite a while. And like, we weren't being slow either. Like, we walked into a few places, but there's so many areas to look at and kind of take in. It's almost, I don't want to say overwhelming, but it's a lot, you know?
Alex Dominguez, who's the lead developer on this, I mean, he even told me the bathrooms are not easy to find. There's not a big sign, or they're not in the most obvious places. That's intentional. Now, hopefully, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. So hopefully you could find them quick enough. But the idea is with the bathrooms, or with just the layout of all these, because you'll see when you get in here, it's not just really comparing Marble City Market to Kern's Food Hall. It's like apples and oranges at this point. They're both food halls, but they're totally different, because the big thing about Marble City Market, we've had multiple podcasts about this, but you could almost stand on the street on West Depot, look through the glass windows, and read all the menus of all the restaurants through the window, because it's just that layout. It is tight. It is long and skinny. There's not much room to gather and socialize. And here, total opposite. Again, part of it I thought was kind of a detriment, where you couldn't really tell until now that you're finally in here what it was like inside. But once you're in here and you're able to explore, you can get lost in here. And I think one thing that helps out a lot is that there is a combination of stalls that you can walk up to, a mix of businesses that you can walk into. And all of that kind of just makes it feel like there's things to be explored. It makes you wonder, what is that over there? I know that sounds silly. You can look at it. It's a big glass open window to Archer Paper Goods. Oh, they sell paper in there. But it's on the other side of the glass, and there's people in there, and I'm out here, and I've never seen anything like this before, and I want to go in there. And if I buy something, you know, or if I'm grabbing a coffee, do I want to maybe walk around and not sit down with it? I grabbed my beer, and we walked around with our drinks, and I had a good time exploring. I'd been here before, but...
And on top of that, like, everything is very colorful and decorated. So it makes you want to look at everything because each stall has its own personality and colors and decor. And it's not uniform, really, but in a good way.
Yeah. It begs for exploration. You say each stall. We had really two options for food today if you wanted a full lunch. You had Zuku Sushi and Ava Italian. There's other places that are open right now. You have Hay Bear. You have... Awaken, I believe, is open. Archer Paper Goods, I mentioned. Flourish Flowers. As far as if you want a full meal, you're essentially looking between Italian and sushi right now. Even that's, I mean, decent variety. I mean, you have one is more targeted towards your more traditional eater. One's targeted maybe towards your more daring eater. And on top of all that, there's so many things around here to complement it. One of the most impressive things, going back to the warm weather, is that outdoor area.
Yes.
And in addition to the outdoor area, the bars and lounges that overlook it. Just got done with basketball. Baseball's happening. Football will be coming up soon. You had mentioned to me how great of a spot you think that could be for game days.
Yeah. I mean, one, if you're just parked over in South Knox before a game, like, I could see a lot of people walking over here or, you know, coming for a game or something like that, because there's so many places to sit. The outdoor area is, I mean...
600 seats, I believe, throughout the whole property.
Yeah, and I mean, it's full right now. I'm, like, looking outside. There's a sizable amount of people out there. So
we're here Thursday at 1:17?
Yeah. So I can really see this as being a game day destination if they choose to be one.
Yeah, and on top of that, the campus is close. And we know that the campus could be getting even closer. I was just at a meeting this morning over at the Knoxville Chamber about the pedestrian bridge. And really, the food hall's an early adopter in a way. I mean, they've been working on this project for a few years now. What this area is going to become in the next few years, I think only time will tell. There's going to be RFPs put out, and it's going to be a long process. Ben Bentley from KCDC was talking about, you know, this is a 7-year plan to get this pedestrian bridge built. But right now, as this food hall, where this food hall currently sits, it's surrounded by students, and the university's not far away, but student housing. I mean, you have the One River Walk, you have 303 Flats, you have the Old Baptist Hospital site, the Davy Apartments coming along quickly, it seems like, more planned along Blount Avenue, not to mention the connections over to Sevier Avenue. Really, we've talked about the old city, I feel like, for years, and now with the baseball stadium that's coming, we're starting to see a little bit of overlap where I think, you know, one more year, old city is going to be open for baseball, that stadium is, 2025. So on the tail end of that anticipated growth, really beginning a new chapter, I think, in a similar way to how we've been talking about Old City for the past few years. We're going to be talking about South Knoxville in the same way. And this food hall, I think, is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah.
It's not just food. I think that's the other big thing to differentiate this between Marble City Market is Marble City Market is really just food stalls and a bar. Here you have I really think of it, and I think it can be an essential hub for students to come here and work on work. I haven't really looked around. I'm doing it right now trying to see how many outlets there are.
I've seen people who are working and stuff here too. So
yeah. Speaking of, you work out too. I mean, we're looking right now right next to the ice cream place here, which that's another vendor that's here. There's a workout studio coming in. So all of this stuff in the similar way to how the food hall on the culinary side aims to attract people, groups of people who, my wife is a perfect example. I am not a picky eater. The only thing I don't eat is carrots, and I'm proud of it. And she, not so much. And, you know, the food hall on the culinary side is great because you can come here and everybody can find something that they want. The overall experience, I think, is the same way here, where if you want to come here to drink, that Monday Night Brewing area is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool space.
Yeah.
I think that was probably one of my favorite areas that we... you know, looked at while we were here.
Yeah. And if you want to come watch a game and have a few drinks and sit outside in the sun, you can do that. If you want to go sit and just have a coffee and get away from people, I mean, all of this complements each other. It's also separated enough, and there's enough, again, nooks and crannies. I'm going to keep using that cliche, yeah. But there's enough little pockets within this property that you can make it whatever you want, whether you need a quiet day, a study day, a busy day, a work day, a dining day, a drinking day, indoors, outdoors, rooftop, ground level. I mean, yeah. There's so many options. One thing to think about, though, I know the students are around here, and really it's a quick, short drive from downtown. It is on Chapman Highway. It is separate from downtown. I had a little trouble pulling in here. Now, I do know that there's changes coming to that, that the Burger Boys business, unfortunately, is going to be closing down, and that the food hall and Kearns, flagship Kearns, the apartments up on the hill from the same developer are going to be getting access to that stoplight, which I think will help a lot. It still requires people to drive unless you live right here in one of these student apartments. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, they are talking about that Greenway project, you know, in South Knox. I didn't realize until today how close that proposed Greenway is. So I think, you know, once that goes in, like, I can see more people kind of walking, kind of making a day out of South Knox, like park somewhere else along Sevier Avenue and walking up here, because it literally would spit you out right at the front door of Kearns.
Yeah.
But until then, you know.
Well, I think the difference and what makes it more attractive to drive to is the fact that, unlike Marble City Market, I could see you actually having a full day here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were talking last week about the Asylum, and where does the Asylum fit in on a night out? Can you bar hop around downtown and then end up at the Asylum? Or is the Asylum, if you're doing that, is that your only destination? Or is it a combo of some sort? I think with this, it's the same thing. Like, you're not going to include the food hall necessarily, or Monday Night Brewing, maybe you do, on your brewery hopping, if you're planning on doing that for the weekend. But I could see people saying, hey, let's make it a Kearns day, and let's go have some food, have some cocktails.
Hang out.
Go hang out outside. Have the rooftop bar. There's a speakeasy coming, too. That's another thing. I mean, do you want to have a more casual, you know, shared seating experience here? Or do you want to maybe dress up a little bit and go to the speakeasy? I mean, there's elements that are coming. And I think that's going to be key, too. You know, they're unrolling it, or they've unrolled it with the intention of doing this in phases. And I think each phase, I mean, is exciting. This is such a great starting ground. I think it's only up from here. And I'm excited to see where it goes. Let's just talk about food real quick. Again, there were only two options, so we both landed on the sushi. We both also landed on a sushi bowl. We did get different sushi bowls, though.
Great minds think alike.
Yes.
It is a little bit pricey. I've gone to a few different poke places here in town. This was definitely more on the expensive side, but it was still pretty good. Like, I don't feel bad about buying it. I don't feel guilty about spending, you know, $13-$14 on poke. But yeah, I enjoyed it. They were pretty fast. Lots of options.
Texted you, which was nice.
Yeah, so much better than Buzzers. So much better.
It's not like I'm like talking bad about Marble City Market. I'm not. I really just want to lay out the differences here, because like I said, this is a place where you can spend an entire day. I don't think Marble City Market is. I know they wanted people to be able to hang out around there. Just don't think it's logistically going to make sense. Yeah, it's not that kind of place, which is fine, because I think Marble City Market, part of the reason that I go there is for the exact opposite. I know that I can walk up to a vendor stall and get some food really quick, and as opposed to sitting down and being waited on. So, you know, they'll complement each other in that way. What I was going to say, though, is, you know, people talked about the prices over at Marble City Market. Think they're similar to what we've seen here, right?
I mean it's hard to tell, because again, not everything is open here, but it does seem to have similar prices, maybe slightly more expensive. It's been a while since I've been to Marble City Market.
Same
but,
area.
Like, I briefly looked at Hay Bear's menu. It looks like they're more expensive than their West Knox location. Not by much, but enough where you're like, oh, you know.
Right.
So,
but where I was going with that is, like, the prices at Marble City Market. Sometimes I order food, I eat it, and I'm like, now what? And then I look at how much I paid, and I'm like, okay. Not saying that necessarily consciously, maybe it is conscious, maybe it's not, that people that are owning these stalls or that own a business or a restaurant just in general incorporate their atmosphere into their pricing. I mean, to a certain extent, you do. If you're a fine dining restaurant and your atmosphere and your is part of your, you know, your selling point, you do. I don't feel as bad here about doing it, because I know that at the very least, I could walk around a little bit, like after I get done eating. Like there's more for me to do, even without spending money, you know, just to be here and hang out.
Yeah, there's couches and like cushioned seats. So it's not like you're stuck in these hard metal bar stools eating. I mean, there's places just to kind of hang out and relax here.
And parking, which, you know, is another thing.
Lots of parking.
And you know that they got something special planned, or they think that it's going to be special, when I think they said they had 250 parking spaces here. They're worried it's not enough. So, you know, they have high aspirations for what this place can be. I'm a downtown reporter, but I'm also a, you know, I'm a cheerleader of downtown in a way. And I always wish that, you know, businesses find success. And so, you know, I have high hopes for them as well. And I'm pulling for this project. And fellow South Knoxville resident, it's in my stomping grounds, so that's exciting too. I think a lot of people are going to be excited about it that live nearby, and again, as more people move nearby, it's going to become a more popular spot, I think. And so if you haven't seen it, first head on over to Knox News. You did your first step. You're listening to the podcast. In the podcast description, I'm going to link to some stories about the food hall that I've written. With those stories, you can see photos of the space before it opened, and I think we have a gallery of right after it opened on opening day. But you have to come see it for yourself. I mean, that's the best way to experience this. So, unfamiliar with the property, it's right across the Henley Street Bridge from downtown. It is that close, and we'll be following it as more businesses open it up, so you can head on over to Knox News and stay tuned there to see the latest updates on Kern's Food Hall. Subscribe.knoxnews.com is the best place to support local journalism, in addition to listening to the podcast every week. There you can sign up for our latest offer and get unlimited access to everything we talk about here on the show and a whole lot more. Also in the podcast description, you'll see a link to both the Urban Knoxville newsletter and the Urban Knoxville Facebook group. Both of those are free sources to get you even more involved in the downtown discussion. And while we appreciate your listens, it would mean a lot if you can leave us a review, tell us what you love about the show, maybe what you'd like to hear us talk about next. 5 stars if you're feeling up for it. We'd appreciate it, and we appreciate you. If you would like to reach out to me in between episodes, you can always follow me on Instagram at Knox Scruff. You can send me an email at ryan.wilusz@knoxnews.com. I've asked you before when you're on the podcast, and the best way to keep up with Brianna is just essentially open up any story on knoxnews.com, and you know, there's
a good chance it'll be
some of her work. Again, awesome photojournalist, visual journalist here at Knox News, and producer of The Scruffy Stuff. Every week she edits it, every week we bring it to you, and that includes next week. We'll be back on Tuesday, so sign up for those alerts so you get a notification every time an episode drops if you've not done that already. And I think that's it for the show today. So Brianna, thanks for joining and listening back to this and editing it and getting it ready to share with our listeners. And always great to have you on, and we'll be back again soon.
Stay scruffy.